Hello, this is your moment of who. I'm Casey.
I'm Sue.
And we are here today to discuss the 10th Doctor Adventures as brought to you by The Big Finish.
Yay!
Yay! 10th Doctor and Donna are back! I love them so much!
So if you in the Who fandom have had your head under a rock, Big Finish is the company that produces audio dramas with former Doctors. You've got 7th Doctor Adventures, you've got 8th Doctor Adventures, and these are the first ones for the 10th Doctor with Catherine Tate, 3 stories in a special combo pack. And it was very exciting to have David Tennant and Catherine Tate back together.
It really was. Like, there was just a part of me that was, like, automatically joyful at hearing them again. I'm like, oh, my people!
Yeah, and I'm hoping that this will bring in... I think in the Doctor Who fandom community, there is still a bit of a division between classic Who fans and people who started with New Who. Mm-hmm. And I think that hopefully this will bring more New Who fans into Big Finish and help to maybe expand that some more as well. Because they've also announced that there are going to be some Torchwood stories. And there are some UNIT stories, and there are more, like, New Who era stories happening on Big Finish now. So hopefully it will open up that world to people as well.
Okay, so what are the episodes we're discussing today? There are only 3.
There are only 3. They are Technophobia, Time Reaver, and Death and the Queen.
And obviously, spoilers.
What?
We have spoilers.
What?
These books are from your future. You don't want to read ahead, spoil all the surprises. Not peeking at the end.
Isn't travelling with you one big spoiler?
I try to keep you away from major plot developments. Which, to be honest, I seem to be very bad at.
So, I guess I'll read the little, like, 3-sentence summaries that they give you with the audio description. Because I think both of us are bad at summaries.
We're awful at summaries.
So story number 1, Technophobia. When the Doctor and Donna visit London's Technology Museum for a glimpse into the future, things don't go to plan. Is it all down to simple human stupidity, or is something more sinister going on? Beneath the streets, the Cognoscenti lie waiting. I giggled at the name Cognoscenti.
So did
like,
I.
The entire time.
We are the Cognoscenti. This kind of reminds me of an audio version of Partners in Crime. It's reintroducing you to Donna and the Doctor after 8 years of them not being there. So when you first hear Donna come in and talk to Bex with an X, you're like, oh, she's here. She's here. And I'm very excited. And she's talking about being a temp. And then they acknowledge the Doctor, and they have the joke of, no, we're not together. We're not gonna. And I'm like, oh, this is great. This is great. Let's keep going.
I listened to a little bit of the behind-the-scenes stuff that comes with the, like, collector's edition pack, even though it's a digital download. And they were talking about how their first story, they wanted to sort of treat it like they would treat a season opener for TV. So stay close to the contemporary time period, sort of reintroduce the characters, and I think it worked really well. It also seems to be slotted in, like, towards the beginning of Donna's season. So you'd expect this to be an early adventure of theirs together.
Yeah, and it does hit a little close to our contemporary times now, because we have to remember, oh, this Donna is from 2008, and she's interacting with Swipe phones and iPads and things like that. And even though those existed back in the day, they weren't as prevalent as they are now. You could still have a flip phone.
Some people still have flip phones now.
But it's not the majority.
No. I thought that the way they did this story was really interesting. I don't know if you got this impression, but right when it first started, I was thinking this was going to be very, very similar to Clara's first story. You know, with the Wi-Fi and the, like, downloading, and I don't remember the name of the story. But you know what I'm talking about, right?
Like, the Bells of Saint something.
Yeah.
But I didn't even remember that part of the storyline until you told me. I'm like, oh yeah, there was a computer, I guess. And for some reason, she didn't know how to...
She couldn't connect to Wi-Fi. Right. Because that was one of my biggest problems with that episode.
That was, like, the dumbest.
But I thought it was really interesting how they took that and sort of turned it. Instead of the technology going crazy and being taken over, it was instead the people losing competency. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was kind of a neat way to take that, like, when the machines rise up trope and sort of turn it on its head.
Yeah. And it's weird to say this, but I think it has this statement that goes with it that I think we are getting slightly dumber the more that we use our smartphones and don't interact with the real world often enough.
Apparently we just need to start playing Pokemon Go.
Oh my God. At the time of this recording, it has only been like a couple of days since that game has come out. And people are just obsessed. And I don't know what the world will be like when this episode is released. Maybe the machines will rise up and we'll be dumber. Who knows? And this is why people should have listened to this episode of the 10th Doctor Adventures on Big Finish, because it just predicted everything.
Oh.
I'm done.
I'm not sure what else to say about this one. I think that I just was so happy to have these two characters back and interacting together in new stories.
Yeah, I was very distracted by the return of these two and their interaction. And I'm like, oh, there are other people. That's nice. So let's get back to their interaction more and more. It's been too long. The last time I saw David Tennant, he was mean. And I just want to hear him be nice more.
It's been a long time for, I mean, the two of them have worked together in other things as well. But it's been a long time since these characters have interacted. And they just seem to fall right back into it.
Yeah, I heard a little bit of an interview with them, and they said it only took, like, a take for them to just be, like, back in the groove again.
That doesn't surprise me.
They're so precious. I love their friendship. It makes me so happy.
Oh, it's so great. All right, so then, next story.
Time Reaver.
Calibris, the spaceport planet where anything goes. The alien Vicentians are trying to impose some order on the chaos. Soon the Doctor and Donna discover why. An illegal weapon is loose on the streets. A weapon that destroys lives. Slowly and agonizingly.
I got kind of distracted during this episode.
There was a lot going on. I would say of the three, I think it was my least favorite.
I would say so too.
But there's like an octopus, and there's these other aliens that are trying to basically, they reminded me of the bureaucrats in Futurama. of Hermes, the bureaucrat. And
there are pirates, and there's a coffee shop, and
instead of a bar. That was very important to note, that there is a coffee shop.
I did appreciate Ten's freak out of, no, there are supposed to be cutlasses and winches.
But I thought the idea of this weapon that was on the black market was really interesting, that it puts you in sort of a slowed down time bubble thing, so that if you're injured when you go in, you never recover. If you're hurting, you're in agonizing pain. It was a little unclear because somebody said something in the story about it wearing off. And then the Doctor shoots himself with a bunch of them and absorbs the time energy, something, something. It was kind of confusing, to be honest.
Yeah, it was very confusing. I think that, you know, I heard somewhere that audio is probably the best visual medium because there's no stronger visuals than our imagination. But when so much information is coming at you and your story isn't clear, those images get muddled. And I think that's why I'm a little more judgmental towards this episode and why I got distracted, because I'm like, too much. I don't understand what's happening. There are pirates in a coffee shop, and the audio production during the dying monologues is interesting, but I don't understand. It would probably be a script that would have to be shot, because there are so many things going on. It's very much a Stephen Moffat-like script. But this episode was written by a woman, which, yay, I appreciate. Yes. And I liked the character of Cora. I think it was too much world building. If we could have just focused on that character. And I really enjoyed the tragedy of her at the very end, where she just loses everything. Right, if we could have just focused on that, I think I would have liked this episode more.
Because all she's trying to do is save her planet, save her friends and her family and her people. But I think you're right. I think this story suffers from its medium, which is kind of weird because with an audio drama, you can do so much. You really don't have a lot of limits. However, this is a drama and not a book, so there is no narrator giving us additional information. It all has to be told in dialogue and sound effects. And I don't think it was totally successful in this story.
It wasn't.
But I did appreciate that there were, again, some nods to Donna's season. Somebody told her she has the Time Reaver bomb strapped to her back. Mm-hmm. But somebody still tells her, you've got something on your back.
And this adventure precedes the silence in the library. Mm-hmm. Anything else about this adventure?
I feel like we're running through these really fast.
We really are. I think it's kind of because we like these more.
And we don't have any visuals to make fun of.
We don't. Except like the weird octopus that's just from out of nowhere.
There was a lot going on.
There was so much going on.
Ugh. So when you buy the audio dramas, you also get access to PDFs of the scripts. I feel like with this one especially, I might like it more if I went back and read the PDF and got more of what was going on. However, mm-hmm. that shouldn't be necessary.
Right.
You know?
I also feel like this would have been great because sometimes with audio dramas like this, you'll have someone who does promotional illustrations and things like that. And if I could have seen some sketches of what was supposed to happen in this story and what this world looked like in particular, I think I would have been more clear about what was happening. I do think that this would have worked better as a narrative outside of the audio medium, yeah. and as a visual, like an adaptation for the show. But you know, hey, there were some good points. I really did enjoy the inner monologues that you heard as Cora's dad and the Time Reaver were dying, I guess, or being torn apart. It's like, what's happening? I kind of enjoyed that because it did have a theatrical feel to it. It was more of an aside or a soliloquy to the audience rather than directly addressing any of the other characters. Hmm. I liked it.
Cool. So, third story?
Third story.
Death and the Queen. Donna Noble has never been lucky in love, but when her prince finally does come, she finds her castle under siege from the darkest of forces, marching at the head of a skeleton army. What will Queen Donna do to save her people from death itself?
This one was my favorite. This is probably one of my top favorite 10th Doctor adventures. Like, from the show or anything. I think this is one of my favorites.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Because I could see it clearly in my head. The emotions were there. I could picture the skeleton army. It took place in the past, which I loved. Also, made an army.
Yeah.
It was the best. This is like my dream episode. It was the best.
I have to admit that I saw the whole she's actually going to have to marry death thing coming mm-hmm. from like 5 minutes in. It comes as no surprise. It wasn't a twist. And it felt like they were trying to make it a bit of a twist, which mm-hmm. was a kind of eye-rolly for me. But that didn't really take away from the stuff that I liked about it. I thought it was incredibly well written. I did really like Hortense and find out that, you know, she's like leading the Republic years later, you know? So I think, again, they took a trope, something kind of expected, and did a little something different with it. The whole, you know, underwear or the contract thing and the way they got out of the problem, I didn't quite follow, But, you know, it's Doctor Who, and Doctor Who is more fantasy than sci-fi in my book in a lot of ways. So I'm happy to hand wave that.
Yeah, I thought that was clever. And also, that was a more adult joke to me, as opposed to the attempt to make everything family-friendly on the show sometimes. She's I got this sewn on my underpants. And I also liked that the 10th Doctor was jealous in a platonic friend way.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we're all familiar with the fact that companions come and go and they always break his heart. But in this, he's like really trying to stop it from happening.
I kept trying to place this in her series. You know, because it's not like with Martha, who gets fed up and leaves, or with Amy and Rory, who start taking time off, essentially, from their travels. Donna had to leave and didn't even know it, right? So I couldn't quite find the right place to slot this one in my head. She always says to him that she's going to travel with him forever.
She makes a comment saying, it wasn't my best wedding, but it wasn't my worst.
Yeah.
So this obviously has to happen after, you know, the library, which is her best wedding so far. I have a feeling it happened right in between Midnight and Turn Left.
Hmm.
That is where I personally put it in my brain.
Okay.
Because Midnight is the adventure where Doctor doesn't have Donna.
Yeah, and that's he almost gets screwed. She's taken a spa day.
Yeah. but he almost died.
Well, that's true. Oh, that's such a good episode.
It's so good, but it freaks me out so much. Donna did not have a lot of luck with men, even the good ones.
And really, she just served to set Kevin up with Bex.
Yeah. Well, you see, I thought the queen would get her comeuppance in some way, but that didn't happen immediately.
Yeah, we don't see it happen, and she sort of gets, I guess we can assume she gets told off and then overthrown.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we don't see her get married off to death or anything instead.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she's technically the queen, but whatever.
She's the queen mum.
Meh. Same thing in my personal opinion. Yeah, I really enjoyed this one. I enjoyed it a lot.
I think the first one was my favorite one.
I can understand that. I would put it Death and the Queen, Technophobia, and Time Reaver, which I keep forgetting the title of that one.
Me too! I blame Joss Whedon.
I know!
Because in Firefly, the Reavers are, I don't know if they're a race or a people or a group or however you want to define them, but they are individuals. And here, a Reaver is a weapon.
Right. And more importantly, the Reavers in Firefly are worse.
Yeah.
Definitely they're worse.
Do you have any more to say on the stories?
Not particularly. I mean, you have to have a very clear story and a very clear script for audio. That's just the way it needs to be. And overall, this volume was very successful. And it's called Volume 1. I assume that there's going to be a Volume 2, which makes me very excited.
I think that is just maybe hedging their bets. According to some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, because it is so difficult to schedule, to get time in the schedules of both David Tennant and Catherine Tate, it was actually his suggestion that they do this three-story special. So hopefully, yeah, there will be more, but I don't think that is confirmed by any means.
Well, I can see it happening with other companions or new companions, like during basically the Year of the Four specials.
Right.
Or like whatever happened before Martha.
Mm-hmm.
That would be great.
But I also think they were really successful in the writing staff picking up these characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh yeah.
This felt not just by performance, but in the way that they spoke and the types of things they said, this felt like Ten and Donna.
Yeah, it it felt like Ten and Donna, and it sounded very akin to what Russell T. Davies wrote for them originally.
Mm-hmm.
Very kind of bantery and fun.
And they both speak so quickly that mm-hmm. there's so much dialogue for them. Oh, it's just fun to listen to and to hear that again.
Yeah. More importantly, these stories were fun.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have me, like, dreading anything.
One of the interviews in the specials with the woman who voiced the Queen Mom, whose name I forget, I apologize, basically said exactly that she usually would choose roles where somebody is introspective or learns something about themselves, but with choosing this role and deciding to take on, you know, the audio drama, not only is it just one day that they can record these and get these stories done and out, but it's a lot of fun. And she made the comment that there's so much violence in our media and really in our world right now, but even though we've got a skeleton army and there's death in the story, that we don't see it and it's not described and it's not gory, and we know it's a fantasy world. So there is still a lightness to the story and sort of a whimsy in a fantastical, fun world. And I think that is a really great point and should be taken to heart in all of Doctor Who and not just the audio dramas.
Absolutely. Sometimes you just want to see dinosaurs on a spaceship or Robot of Sherwood. That's probably why I'm very excited about... we haven't discussed this on either Moment of Who or Supplemental yet, but Stephen Moffat is stepping down after season 10, and he's being replaced by Chris Chibnall, who wrote Dinosaurs on a Spaceship. And he also wrote the very hardcore drama Broadchurch with David Tennant, and I'm just excited to see a mix of fun and drama again. I feel like it's been too long since we've had any of that.
Yeah, we've talked a lot in the last couple seasons about how dark Who has been on TV lately, and I would like some lightness in my sci-fi every now and then.
Yeah, again, I watched Breaking Bad, but there was a funny episode every now and then. It was dark, but it was funny. You even get that with X-Files. We've been watching the X-Files here in Casa de Ryan Pierce. And every now and then you get a squeegee episode, and then you get a fun one.
I am so happy you guys are watching through the X-Files now. I feel partially responsible, and I take pride in that.
You should. Like, we went through these episodes very quickly, but we were positive for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be interested in listening to more audio adventures either from The Big Finish or in general?
I am. However, this is the hard part. I have the same sort of like, where do I start anxiety that I get with comic books, right? I need a very clear point of entry. Or are they all standalone? Can I just pick up like a Seventh Doctor story and listen to it? Or do I actually need to start from a certain point? You know, that's what I don't know, and that's where I feel like I would need help, especially delving into the classic Doctors who have so many stories.
Yeah. I also thought about this with other podcast audio dramas as well. Well, you call them audio dramas, but like Welcome to Night Vale, I started listening to that, and even though I could go back and listen to where I left off, there are so many episodes now, it's overwhelming.
Yeah, that too.
So I feel like we would need something akin to an audio drama book club.
Well, they also have to be well written for their medium, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Which is part of the problem we have with Time Reaver. So,
yeah.
But I know that there are a lot of people who really love the Eighth Doctor in particular because of the audio dramas.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense just because the movie was so ridiculous. Oh.
Ridiculous is a kind word.
I'm amazed they haven't covered that on How Did This Get Made. Anyway, yeah, I would love to hear the Eighth Doctor ones, although I'm not quite sure about the Eighth Doctor adventure with River Song.
I'm not necessarily opposed to it. I think you felt this way, too. I liked River more with Peter Capaldi than I ever did with Matt Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And David Tennant, I would say, was probably in the middle for that. I think I think I've liked River the most with Capaldi.
Same here. Far.
But, I mean, maybe it'd be totally, totally different.
Their characters made the most sense with each other because it's basically Sherlock and Irene Adler.
Well, that's another story.
It's not another story. It's the same story. It's yes. The same story Stephen Moffat writes over and over again.
This is not a podcast about a Moffat series. But I'm wondering if it would be a totally different dynamic with River and Eight.
That is true. I would be interested in hearing that when I'm ready.
But that's the thing. Can you just go pick up that one? Or is there backstory and character development for the Eighth Doctor that you should really have before you listen to that? Like, do I have to go back and listen to all of the Eighth Doctor stories? I mean, I know I don't have to, but should I? Is it a good idea?
Yeah.
Plus, I feel like having this audio drama addiction could get really expensive.
You see, that's why I kind of want to start with the podio dramas, the podcast audio dramas, because they're free.
Yay, free.
Like, actually, we would probably have to pay for this too, but I would love to listen to one of the Neil Gaiman audio dramas, like Good Omens or Neverwhere.
Oh, the ones, not the audiobook, but the ones adapted for audio play, for radio.
Yes.
Interesting.
Because I've listened to the audiobook narrated by Neil Gaiman of Neverwhere, and it was fabulous, but I think it would be interesting to listen to it as adapted for audio entertainment with different characters. Because, again, this is the most visual medium when it comes to scripted or documentary-type, you know, stories. Which is probably why This American Life is so popular. So, I think we should be open to doing more audio dramas in the future, but I think we would need to be recommended some starting points by our listeners.
I would absolutely love that.
Especially meds with the big fetish stuff, because I have a strong feeling he has put a lot of money into that machine, and God bless him for it.
But it's difficult, right? Because it's not something that everybody has access to. I mean, anybody can purchase it, but you still have to purchase it.
Right.
You know? So there's that aspect as well. We don't want to make that a second barrier to entry for those listening to us.
Right. Like, especially if there are free, really good audio dramas out there, let us know. We are interested.
Definitely. All right. Do we have any more to say on the 10th Doctor Adventures other than please give us more?
I think that pretty much sums it up.
All right. So what are we doing next?
Oh, next time we are covering Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Oh, right.
I'm very excited for this one. I've wanted this one for a long time because this is nostalgia movie central.
It's going to be fun.
Going to be a whole lot of fun. So if you want to watch Who Framed Roger Rabbit with us, you can either rent it through iTunes, Amazon, Netflix has it on DVD only, or your friendly local library.
And then shortly thereafter, we will both be at Dragon Con.
Yeah! I still need to get my cosplay together.
Yeah, there's still a month. 2 months.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
Almost 2 months.
Yeah, I mean, I have basic pieces, you know, cheapy cosplay, but, and Elaine Stritch is going to be so easy.
Context, Casey.
Broadway actress and 30 Rock mother of Jack Donaghy, Elaine Stritch is going to be so easy.
To cosplay.
To cosplay. And of course, 10th Doctor, maybe Mork and hipster TARDIS. But I count that as civilian clothing.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. All right. Anything else?
No, I think we got just about everything.
All righty. Well, this is Casey.
This is Sue.
And this has been your moment of who.
If you wish to contact the Anomaly Supplemental, you can at the email address, which is moregirlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks with a Z at gmail.com. Or you can call the voicemail line at 248-419-4335. Check out the Anomaly blog for geeky articles and Anomaly Supplemental show notes. Find it online at anomalypodcast.com. That's anomalypodcast.com. Anomaly was created under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 Unported License. Say that three times fast.
And we are here to discuss the Big Finish 10th Audio Advent... Damn it.